Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 25 to 31. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the only Savior of mankind, dear fellow redeemed. One of the reasons why we come to church like we are this morning is to be strengthened. To receive strength, to be able to face all the troubles that come in our life. Troubles that come upon us because of our own sins, or troubles that this sinful world lays upon us. On this Sunday, there are probably, 25, 30 people here this morning, sitting at our Savior's feet, and you're laying before him your burdens, your cares, your worries, your fears, your sorrows, your anger, your frustration. Maybe some of you are experiencing illnesses, short or long term, and it bothers you. Maybe some of you are praying for someone you know who is quite ill. Maybe you're experiencing family problems, marital or maybe parent-child relationship problems. Others may be having problems at work or with your friends. So others of you may be experiencing an emotional rut. Not much joy in your life, just doing the same old thing over and over and over again. Others of you, you feel the pressures of work, having to make sure you succeed, do the right job, is beginning to wear on you. Maybe you're worried about the Delta variant and the COVID virus. Or maybe you have loved ones who are aged and you're concerned about them. Maybe your own selfish ambition and the temptations of life are creeping in around you, taking away the joy and desire to serve the Lord, and that scares you. And that's just a short list. This of all the problems and trials and dilemmas and troubles that come upon us, as many and as varied as there are people here this morning. And the great thing about all of it is, the Lord knows all about it. He knows our frame. He knows we are dust. He knows our every weakness. He knows all the troubles and trials and problems in our life that have come upon us. He knows our faults and our failures. He alone. So, who is like the Lord? This morning we're beginning the second half of our study of the book of Isaiah. In chapter 39, the Lord through Isaiah told the people of Judah that they would be taken captive by the Babylonians and Jerusalem would be destroyed. But that didn't happen for 150 years, not until 572 BC. Yet the prophecy was as good as done. And so in chapter 40 and the rest of the book, the Lord God gives to his children words of comfort, words of encouragement and consolation. He's writing these words of comfort and consolation in advance of this catastrophe that would come. What lessons had the people learned from the miraculous deliverance of Sennacherib we heard 2 weeks ago? Remember, King Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came upon Jerusalem. They surrounded the city with 185,000 soldiers. The emissary said, "Don't listen to King Hezekiah. Don't put your trust in the Lord Jehovah. What God has ever stopped us? All the other nations, we've destroyed them all. There's no God powerful enough." Hezekiah took it to the Lord in prayer. Next morning, they woke up, and there were 185,000 dead corpses all around the city, struck down by the angel of the Lord. What lessons should they learn for the next crisis that's coming, the Babylonian captivity? This lesson: who is like the Lord? Can there be anyone like Jehovah? Is anyone equal in strength or power or wisdom? All the verses we've read so far in our scripture readings and this morning all clearly show God's preeminence, God's glory, his power over everything in this world, over all of mankind, over all that is happening in this world, over all good and evil in this world, over all the rulers of this world. No one and nothing can even come close to being like God. For the faithful few in Israel back then, and for the faithful few in the world today, that is a most comforting, comforting truth. In our text this morning, the Lord gives us three reasons or examples why there is no one like him. The first is this: he controls heavenly bodies. We read verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, no one is missing." What a magnificent picture the Lord is painting for us here. Tonight, go outside, lift up your eyes, look at the stars and the moon. If you see any planets out there, who created them all? God did. Who put them all in their orbits? God did. Who knows all of them? God does. The uncountable number of heavenly bodies fixed in their places in unimaginable distances from this earth, floating around in their orbits, is truly an amazing wonder. It's mind-boggling. God put them all there. God controls all of them. It certainly shows God's omnipotence. But the Lord through Isaiah says it also shows his care and his providence and compassion. The words for "brings out" in the passage, "who brings out their host by number," in the Hebrew pictures the shepherd bringing out his sheep. Bringing out his sheep from his pen, leading them one by one in order, knowing them all by name, taking them out to the pasture where he watches them and protects them and takes care of them. So God knows all of his stars, all of his planets, everything he's created in this universe. He knows how many there are. He knows all of them, even knows them by name. What scientist can even count a few of them? We don't know how many galaxies are out there, how many planets God's created. He knows them all. What power, what wisdom, what understanding. What more is needed for a child of God when we endure the sorrows of life, our many sins, and the troubles and trials that come upon us, than having this comforting assurance that every circumstance in life, no matter how insignificant or earth-shattering or life-altering, comes our way, we are the object of God's love, so that every single thing that happens to us passes by God's will, is under his loving concern. For the Bible says that not only does the Lord know how many stars there are in the heavens, he knows how many hairs you have upon your head. But does it seem that way always? Not always. There's sometimes we're going through trials and troubles and fears. We wonder, is God even listening? Has God forsaken us? Has God turned his back on us? The people of Israel felt that way. Look at verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, quote, My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. With such a God as the Lord Jehovah, how could these Jewish people, how could we ever have misgivings or doubts about our God's great love and concern for us? But we do. How often haven't we also cried out like Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? In other words, God is not even knowing what's happening in my life. Because if he knew what's happening in my life, he surely would change what's happening in my life because it's terrible. How often have we said like Israel, my just claim is passed over by my God? In other words, I'm a child of God and my life is worse than unbelievers who seem to be prospering and having and flourishing. God just doesn't seem to care. It's so easy to blame God when things don't go well. It's so easy to be upset with him when we don't get what we want or think that this is the way our life should be going. And we need to realize that he does listen to our prayers. He does hear all of our prayers. Remember those doubting disciples when they're in the boat that was beginning to sink and Jesus was sleeping? They woke him up and said, don't you care, Lord? We're drowning. Don't you care, Lord? Jesus not care? That's preposterous. And asking Jesus if he doesn't care, that's blasphemous. So why do we sometimes think those things? Why do we sometimes say those things? Well, I came up with a list of reasons why. First of all, because of the littleness of our faith. Secondly, because of our not thinking things through by faith. Thirdly, because of our doubt of God's love and concern for us. Fourth, because of our not taking God at his word. Fifth, because of our not believing wholeheartedly his promises. Sixth, because of our not hearing and reading his word consistently, that strengthens our faith. And because of our own pride-filled, selfish hearts. Who is like the Lord? Secondly, he neither faints nor is weary. We read verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. How often do we have to be told? How long does it take before it gets into our head, into our heart, that the Lord is the very source of our strength and gives us the strength that we need in times of trouble? He neither faints nor grows weary of all that he does, and no one can fathom or understand his deeds. The Bible clearly says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Our Savior promises us, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Our loving Lord assures us, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How often has he promised us? How clear has he made it in his word? And yet, it's beyond our understanding. It can be accepted and believed only by the Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts to trust and rely upon these promises that God gives to us. Paul writes in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and shall be repaid to him? For of him And through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Who is like the Lord? The third example, he gives strength to those who wait on him. The Lord is not only the very source of our strength, he gives us that strength through his word. We read verses 29 to 31. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the weakness of our sins, the Lord strengthens us with the assurance of forgiveness. In the weariness of knowing that we have doubt and worry, and sometimes we don't trust the Lord, we're assured that God's forgiven all those sins, and we're strengthened by that. Remember to the fear-filled Moses when God said, "Go to Pharaoh and tell him, let God's people go." God said, "Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." To Paul, who is plagued by that thorn in the flesh, the Lord declares, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And to the weak, trembling disciples, as they said goodbye to their Savior, as he was ascending up into heaven, never to see him again, at least this side of heaven, the Lord said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And to all of us who are nothing without Jesus, our Lord says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Paul summarizes this whole section in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, when he writes, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." Isaiah says, "Even the youths will grow tired and weary. Even the strong men and women who do physical great things like the Olympics, they too sometimes fail and falter. But God never falters. God never fails." But to whom is this promise given? Isaiah says, "To those who wait on the Lord." That means more than just having patience. The word there, wait, means to trust unswervingly, to expect something to happen, to await. It's when the child of God repents of his sins, realizes he's broken God's commandments, and turns to Jesus for full and free forgiveness. It's when the child of God realizes, "I have no righteousness, I have no goodness to stand before God, but the righteousness I have is from Jesus. His perfect righteousness has been given to me through faith." It's when the believer knows he cannot solve the problems of life. He can't get through the dilemmas of life by himself. He needs to rely upon the Lord to guide him, help him, comfort him. That's waiting on the Lord. But finally, the Lord also says, he also will renew us. The word there for renew literally means to be revived, getting new strength to make it through. Not just to barely make it through, but to make it through with wings like eagles, to soar high above all your problems, all your troubles, all the things that scare you, all the things that fear us, all the things that make us sad. Christians don't just survive day by day with all the other problems of life. Christians soar over their problems when they rely upon Jesus and his word. God will renew our spirit, so it soars above all things, that we can have restored the joy of our salvation. Knowing that Jesus loves me, knowing that my sins of doubt and worry have been forgiven, knowing that all of my sins have been washed away, knowing that my Savior has seen me through this life, and he's prepared an eternal home for me in heaven, makes me strong again, renews me, revives me to trust in his promises, and lets me be able to soar above all the problems and trials and troubles life throws at us. We have the final victory through our Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us the strength to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint, to see this life through to the end, not to the bitter end, but to the most glorious end, everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.